There is a widespread uncertainty and anxiety in our culture, and we as God's people face a tremendous challenge of living out the Christian story in a culture dominated by, at times, behavioral deterioration. Didn't get that out quite right, but anyway. But we see evidence of this by the breakdown in families, racial tensions, ethical failures in leadership, drug abuse, and our culture is one of high anxiety, especially in this election year when there seems to be more uncertainty and conflict. And it is important that the Lord's church be a place where anxiety is not a primary characteristic. And so the question I pose to all of us this morning is, how do we live out the Christian story in a culture that is living by a different story? And I believe 1 Peter is a good place to go to answer this question. Peter is writing to Christians living in a culture whose story is different from the Christian story. These Christians are facing tensions. They're facing problems. They're facing persecutions in trying to live out the Christian story. We can see this historically. Tacitus, the Roman historian, described Christianity as a class hated for their abominations. And he called Christianity a deadly superstition, hideous and shameful. Pliny, the Roman governor, Bithynia, which is one of the provinces where Christians are living and reading this particular epistle, writes to the Emperor Trajan, and he describes Christianity as a perverse and extravagant superstition. And here in 1 Peter, we find ways for the church to insulate herself from the anxiety that pervades our society. And so just remember culture shock. I want to take that word shock. The S stands for strangers. 1 Peter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen. And then in chapter 2, verse 11, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. So Peter refers to his readers as aliens, strangers, exiles. Because we are strangers in the world, we are sometimes considered to be strange in the eyes of the world. Christians have standards and values different from those in the world. And I realize that this gives us opportunity both for witness and for warfare. Strangers. The second word is holiness. We've sung about that this morning. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We are called to live a holy life. A life that has been disciplined by God. A life that is distinctive for God. A life that is truly dedicated to God. The call for holiness. Obedience is our third word. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. And since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. It is extremely important that we be characterized by people who are obedient. Obedience is a very important mark of the Christian. And then the C stands for crave, and I'm talking about that we need to crave God's word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And so we need to be characterized as people who crave, who desire, who long for the word of God. That's what Peter is encouraging these new Christians to do. I want you to have a sincere desire for the word, to grow, to mature, to become the men and women and the boys and girls that God truly desires you to be. And I think that's important for all of us today. And then the last word is charis. I had to really stretch here to finish out my acrostic. But charis is the Greek word for grace, for grace. And that's something that's emphasized here in some of the verses that I've been reading. Chapter 1, verse 13, part of a text that was read. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've got to remember and rely upon the powerful grace of God. And so I think there are four themes that Peter raises in his letter to help us live out the Christian story in a culture that sometimes lives by a different story. Number one, we need to live by the book. Again, 1 Peter 1, verse 22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Again, we must continue to long for, to crave, to sincerely desire the powerful word of God. That is extremely important for us as God's people in a culture that sometimes lives by a different story. We must continue to live by the book. But then we've got to number two, practice the story together. We need to prioritize our community life together. We're in this together. We need each other. We must depend upon each other. We need to continue to encourage one another. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Well, that's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? To be harmonious, to sympathetic, to be brotherly, to be kind-hearted, to be humble in spirit. And I think that we do need to practice that as a community of God's people. That needs to be one of our priorities, I think, if we're going to live out the Christian story. Number three, we need to be devoted to prayer. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Thank David for his prayer this morning. And we need to be people who are devoted to prayer. And that's one thing that we all must continue to do, is that we've got to continue to pray. To pray for one another, to pray that God will give us opportunities to spread the gospel of Christ. We need to pray for those who are in leadership. Paul encourages us to do that, and that's something that we must be devoted to a prayer. And then number four, we need to wait expectantly for the return of Jesus. 1 Peter 1, verse 13, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've sung about that this morning as well. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. But Jesus is coming, and we need to wait expectantly for that coming of Christ. If you look at the second letter that Peter writes to his readers, he encourages this idea of that the second coming of Christ is a motivation for us to live a holy and godly life. Since he is coming, what sort of persons ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? I don't know of a greater motivation, a greater incentive to live a godly and holy life than the truth that Jesus Christ is coming. And we need to look forward to that. And we need to have that attitude of the early Christians where they might say to each other as they were departing, Maranatha, Maranatha, our Lord come. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And so certainly we are waiting expectantly for that turn. But in the meantime, we must not try to escape from the world. But we must do our very best to keep ourselves from its destructive behaviors. As Jesus told his apostles, and as he prayed to the Father, Father, I do not pray that you will take them out of the world, but that you will keep them from the evil one. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And just remember this culture shock that we're strangers. We're called to live lives of holiness. We're called to be obedient sons and daughters of God. We must continually crave the powerful word of God. And then we must never forget charis, the grace, the almighty, the wonderful, the abounding, the amazing grace of God. And we need to set our hope on that powerful grace of God. I know it's a challenge living in our world, just as it was a challenge. Can you imagine some of the challenges that those readers to whom Peter addressed were facing in their day and time? Some of those things that were said by some of the emperors and some of the political leaders about Christianity, it was not an easy time for them. It's a challenging time for us, but it is a reminder that we, remember, we are strangers. This is not our home. Our real citizenship is in heaven, from which we await a Savior. And what a great day that's going to be. But I want to make a difference in the world. I'm in the world. I'm not of the world. I want to be out there trying to be a powerful influence in the world. And that's what I want everyone in this room to be. I want you to be out there serving in this world, making a difference in this world, living that holy, living that obedient life, having that sincere craving for God's word. And I want you to rely upon the wonderful and the powerful grace of God. And let's continually devote ourselves to prayer. And let's really be looking forward to that day when our Lord comes to take us to be home with Him. And so what a day that will be when our Savior we will see. Living out the Christian story in a culture that sometimes is living by a different story. But let's do our best to go out there and make a difference. To live that holy life. Not talking about a holier-than-thou attitude. I'm talking about, again, a life that is distinctive, that is disciplined, that is dedicated to God. That's the kind of holiness. That's the kind of difference that we need to be showing to this world. We're going to sing our song of encouragement, and if there's anyone here today who is ready to respond to the gospel of Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism, we're here to welcome you. If there's anyone here today who desires the prayers of the congregation, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. So if there's any way that we can help you, encourage you, to support you, we hope that you'll come and let us know as we stand together and sing our song of encouragement.